The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is this gospel lesson, this familiar account of Mary and Martha in the days prior to our Lord going up to Jerusalem. It is a solemn time in his life, and we learn much in this encounter. Here's something to remember. As you look at church history, you discover that departure from orthodoxy, the teaching of heresy, the teaching of error, is seldom, very seldom, the outright teaching of a falsehood. Usually heresy is giving all of your attention to half of the truth. In Christian theology, you see, the challenge is often keeping the appropriate tension between two seemingly contradictory or paradoxical truths. For example, law and gospel. Is our faith about obeying God's commands? The law, or receiving the undeserved gift of God's love and forgiveness? The gospel. Is it about faith or works? The answer, yes. Is Jesus true God or true man? Yes. Is the Holy Communion bread and wine or body and blood? Yes. See, you give all your focus. You could look at the heresies of history. And even in these particulars, which I've spoken, true man, true God, the heresy is usually enveloped in leaning too far to one side or the other. Give all your focus to half the truth, and you depart from biblical orthodoxy. Today we focus on Martha and Mary. Before we even go there, I find it fascinating to note that the story immediately preceding the Mary-Martha account is the parable of the Good Samaritan, last Sunday's gospel lesson. There you recall Jesus shamed a Jewish theological expert who came inquiring about the way to eternal life by telling him about a despised Samaritan who stopped to help a man, a hurting stranger, while these distinguished religious authorities walk by on the other side. The parable teaches the importance of social concern, caring for the needs of those who have need. No one can ignore the needs of a brother or sister who is and be worthy of the kingdom of God. Now Luke, who is really a pretty good theologian, by no coincidence, I'm convinced, follows that story immediately with this account of Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha. And Martha was, you recall, doing exactly what the Lord was encouraging in the parable of the Good Samaritan. She was busy preparing a meal for a neighbor in need. She's working her fingers to the bone to provide for the physical needs of Jesus himself. And she's peeved. She's ticked that her sister Mary is, from her perspective, shirking her duty. Must be nice, Mary, just sitting there with Jesus, waiting for dinner to be served. And I'm sure she was quite surprised when Jesus didn't agree. No, he says, Mary has chosen the better part. In other words, take off your apron, Martha. Sit down here with your sister and listen to the Word of God. So now, are we thoroughly confused? Or do we understand, you see, that the Christian life is a rhythm of action and disengagement, involvement in human needs, and spiritual worship and reflection, hard work, and quiet meditation? See, maintaining the balance, the tension, the rhythm. It's not a simple matter for us. This text tempts us to nurture our stereotypes, to hear Jesus' word as a kind of put-down of so-called women's work, admonishing people who have no inclination for intellectual discipline. In other words, hands-on activities are the better thing, suggesting that scholars are somehow better Christians than carpenters or cooks. And of course, that's nonsense. What a chaotic world we would have. What a pathetic and puny, ineffective church we would have without the active involvement of all the Martha types, many of them sitting right here. Doers, hands-on caregivers. But Jesus reminds us that the abundant life is not simply full pantries and comfortable surroundings and good cooking. Beyond all this, there is always that one thing needful. So I think we should see this text as a kind of continuum, with Mary and Martha at the two polarities, the two extremities. They represent faith as deeds, works of kindness, social concern, social action, and faith as meditation, contemplation, reflection, worship. Now, where do you fall on the continuum? See, none of us is likely to be at either pole, but I suspect the greater risk for most of us is to be distracted from the Word of God, not giving sufficient attention to reflection, meditation, study, listening to God speaking to us through His Word. And like Martha, we are distracted by good things. See, that's the stinger in the text. I mean, Martha is doing something important. It's good stuff. These are responsible, necessary things. But the Lord insists that in this context, she has her priorities twisted. And can we hear this? Can we apply this? Can we take this to heart? See, we are such busy, driven people. Google tells me that Americans consume 50 million aspirin tablets every day. That's 50 billion a year. Who knows how many Tylenol and Buffer? I mean, such figures would suggest, you see, that everyone in this country must have a headache most of the time. In my experience, the people in our culture are not so much interested in how they may get to heaven. They're asking, how do I get through this day? In the early 1900s, the top 10 killers in this country were all infectious diseases. In this new century, they're all stress-related. And we're not surprised. See, we feel such a pressure to get things done, to be responsible hard workers. Many of you are retired, like myself. And there's a kind of crazy guilt that comes when you're just sitting around, maybe even reading the Bible. I should be doing something for the Lord. The story is told of a bishop who visited his friend who was the pastor of a quiet little country church. He asked his friend, "What would you do if you looked up one day and saw Jesus walking toward your door?" The pastor responded, "Well, I'd try to look real busy." You know, what is it that makes us feel guilty if we're not real busy? If we're not super responsible? And what a tragedy, you see, when our busyness, our worrying about what has to get done, distracts us from giving attention to the Word of God, hinders us from being still. It's so hard for us, you know, being still and knowing God. I'll offer you the axiom for the day. Don't just do something. Sit there. See, the great challenge for our spiritual journey, I think, is not distinguishing good from evil. We seldom have difficulty knowing the right thing to do. The struggle is always about proportions, about dividing our time, about keeping our lives in balance, making sure we're not majoring in minors. In the business world, you know, there's a phrase people talk about: working smart. You've got to work smart. Make sure you don't work lots and lots of hours and not get anything done without being efficient. In this text, I hear Jesus saying, "Martha, come on, get smart. There's a time to set a nice table, tend to human comforts. But now, in the shadow of my departure, as I set my face toward Jerusalem and the cross, you have to get a grip on what's important. It's time to focus on my word, which is, you see, a word of joy and peace and power. This is a word without which all of life becomes dreary and dull and disastrous. No matter what we're having for dinner. Right now, I have to tell you, your sister Mary, she's working smart." But we have to be very careful here. It's all too easy to interpret this text in a way that is simply an encouragement for us to set aside some time, read the Bible every day, to be smart enough to be in church on Sunday, and spiritual refreshment, the nurture of the Word, becomes just another discipline, just another duty, another should, another ought, something else to burden our days and cram our schedules. Being in the Word, you see, is not just another duty or a discipline. It's not a rule to be obeyed. Jesus didn't rebuke Martha, telling her to put the crystal and the china back in the cabinet just to trade one chore for another one. See, it's all about freedom. To hear the Word is to be set free. Free from guilt. Free from worry. Free from debt. Freedom from living our lives being intoxicated with busyness and accomplishment, and getting ahead. You see, this all runs the risk of sounding like some mini course in time management until you understand it's all about freedom. God's Word comes to us freely. It's like a surging, bubbling, never-ending stream in the desert, pouring into our lives this message of hope and joy and freedom through the mercies of Christ. We immerse ourselves in this Word, not because it's our duty,
but because it sets us free. We are free from duty-oriented religion, which measures spiritual achievement, like a person writing a resume. This is what I accomplished. This is what I did. We are free, no, to cast all our burdens, our cares, our fears, and our guilt on Christ, the burden bearer. Freedom. Freedom for all. See, this is the heart of God's Word. And this is why God wants us to immerse ourselves in it. In Christ, you are free. Your place in the kingdom is not limited by shameful past, not limited by the accomplishments that you did or didn't accomplish. There are no limits. You are free, you see, to be all you can be, everything God created you to be, free to live in Him, free to live with Him, free to live for Him, free to praise Him and thank Him and serve Him and obey Him, free to reach out and touch someone in His name. There is so much about this life that we must do. There are so many responsibilities that we cannot shirk. But until we listen to the Word of the Lord, and until the Spirit working through that Word releases us from our burden and our dedication, busyness for its own sake, we remain trapped in trivia. Trapped in trivia. Working ourselves to the bone and getting nowhere. O Lord, guide us with Mary to your feet, where in your Word we truly become free. Amen. Now may His peace, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith, even to life eternal. Amen.